There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
It's the Wednesday edition of College Football Live. Matt Schick along with Trevor Maddich and Marcus Spears. Much to discuss over the next 29 and a half minutes, including some season win total over-unders for a handful of college football teams. Plus, is the dominance of Alabama and Clemson good for college football? That's coming up. First, we know what undoubtedly is good for college football. Players reporting to practice, because that means we will have practice and then games. Make way for the reigning national champs, the Clemson Tigers, reporting to preseason camp today. Last year, they won the national title with the help of freshman quarterback Trevor Lawrence. Laura Rutledge tells us his second act could be even better than the first. I did
it when they said that it can't be done to become number one. It was the biggest stage of his life, and Trevor Lawrence shone brighter than the Levi's Stadium lights.
The Tigers crush Alabama, reclaim their crown.
As the mighty tide fell, Lawrence's legend grew, and so did the hype for his encore. No more talk, no more waiting on a sign. Lights are up and it's showtime, showtime. So what will Trevor's second act bring? Can he possibly recreate the magic of that January night that had many wishing he wasn't 2 years away from the NFL? Anything less than a Heisman and another Natty will feel like a plot twist.
When you watch Trevor Lawrence throw the ball, it's special.
When the curtain opens on Clemson's season August 29th, it will reveal a loaded offensive line to protect their Heisman hopeful. The Tigers' backfield features the nation's best back, Travis Etienne. And they have a 1-2 punch at receiver with T. Higgins and Justin Ross that will give defensive coordinators fits.
A great throw!
Touchdown, Tigers!
Combining an exceptional cast with a very manageable schedule and Lawrence's unshakable nature just might result in a better Act 2 than Act 1.
Trevor Lawrence, number 16 for the Tigers.
He's sensational.
Call him Dragon Slayer, Giant Killer, Sunshine, or just Trevor. Undoubtedly, he'll play a lead part in college football this year. Oh, and just wait for Act 3.
Remember, he did not start the first four games last year, finished with 30 touchdowns, four picks. More impressively, look what he did in the two playoff games, 300-plus yards in each and a QBR of nearly 95. And against Bama, a 99.9 QBR in third down situations, which reportedly is very good. Trevor Maddich, we will start with you. What do you anticipate Trevor Lawrence doing for an encore?
I think for an encore, he'll just keep improving on the craft of quarterbacking. That's the thing that really blew me away last year, guys. It wasn't necessarily his arm talent, which is there. It was the fact that he made the right decisions for the right reasons as a true freshman. He was able to apply his offense to what he saw in front of him defensively correctly. That's part of the craft of quarterbacking, and he will only get better at that.
To make this answer short, throw more touchdowns and throw one less interception and probably lead the nation in what he's doing. Look, these type of guys that are Trevor Lawrence's of the world are generational talents. So what they do is they keep defying what we think the good quarterback play is. And I've heard these talks about tanking for Tua. Trust me. There are teams already tanking for Trevor, knowing that he has 2 years left to play collegiate football.
That's the thing. Well, that's the thing. We went from how's this freshman quarterback going to do to now, oh, my goodness, he's got to play two more years until he can consider going pro. Speaking of going pro, there are a lot of guys on this defensive line that went pro. They lost all four starters, but they just reload every year. Marcus, why is Clemson so dominant on the defensive front year after year?
Because they recruit. Shig, as simple as that. And also, they have a tremendous defensive coordinator that I don't know gets enough credit for how much the success of this team has been over the past few years in Venables. And when you think about what Clemson has done to match Alabama, it's been from a physicality standpoint. We get enamored with the receivers, and we talk about Ross and T. Higgins and what Travis Etienne does in the backfield. Clemson dominated the line of scrimmage, which we very rarely say when we're talking about a team beating and playing against Alabama. And I, like I mentioned before, I know everyone was enamored with skill guys, but those four front guys, Christian Wilkins, Austin Bryant, Cleveland Farrell, and just putting pressure and pressure on Tua Tagovailoa. We can talk about the struggles of Tua Tagovailoa, but the real struggles were up front with offensive linemen being beat by really good defensive linemen, Dexter Lawrence, who I left out of that crew, and they just dominated the game. But they keep reproducing because they have established themselves in the beginning stages of being a dynasty, and when you do that, you get a lot of really good players.
Marcus, you mentioned defensive coordinator Brent Venables. Let me ask you this. As a defensive player, would you rather read and react, or would you rather attack?
I would rather attack all day, Trevor Maddox.
I believe you, because I've spent all day with you, and I get it. The thing is, though, his mantra is pressure breaks pipes. If there's going to be a mistake, it's going to be going forward, attacking that offense. And that's one of the things that makes him so great. You mentioned the athleticism from recruiting. That athleticism is unleashed in an attacking scheme. And even though they've got to replace a lot of guys in the front seven, they still have star power. Xavier Thomas is the defensive end with the speed of a running back. Isaiah Simmons is already a superstar at outside linebacker. These are guys that are able to step into these roles and continue the attack. And that's part of the fun of watching this Clemson defense continue to reload.
And Trevor, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we talk so much about how teams prepare, how they play. The most dominant defenses in the history of football on any level, Pee Wee all the way to the NFL, they want to dictate gameplay. And Brent Venables does as good a job as any defensive coordinator in the country in trying to dictate what offenses are going to do.
Now, Marcus, I got to tell you, as an offensive lineman, I love it when defenses read and react. When they come attack, it destroys everything I try to do and makes my life difficult. I'm glad you're not attacking me now.
Yes, yeah, good. That padded studio is got a wall in the padded studios there to separate the two. Nice to have the partition. By the way, I was going to mention K.J. Henry, another guy who's a top 10 player in a class who's working up the depth chart there as well on that defensive front. Week two, Clemson hosts Texas A&M. The Aggies also reported to camp today, a team that went 9-4 in Jimbo Fisher's first year in College Station. Not only do the Aggies have Clemson, they have Alabama on the schedule. They got Georgia on the road, LSU on the road. That's likely four preseason top 10, if not top 5 teams. A&M has the 11th toughest schedule in the FBS, according to the Football Power Index. So, Trevor, what is the realistic best case, worst case scenario for the Aggies?
Well, best case is they win the SEC West and go on to win the SEC, and they have the team to be able to do that. The problem with the playoff is that that game at Clemson might put them behind the eight ball a little bit.
And it really will show how much respect Clemson has garnered over the years based on what they've done. Look, the playoff committee can tell us that history doesn't matter. You better believe history matters. They know what Clemson has been doing. They know what type of program that was. And the only reason we have upsets is because of preconceived notions. If Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M are able to get by Clemson, let's just say by happenstance, because no one planned on the game being played like it was last year, that catapults. It starts to justify a 10-year, $75 million contract for Jimbo Fisher and what Texas A&M believed the type of coach that he would be. This is a pivotal point for A&M to not only compete highly, but possibly shock the world.
It's possible. And Marcus, I've got to tell you this. This A&M team this year will be better. That schedule might make it hard to see the results of that. But I've been there the last several years on my offseason tour. Last year in Jimbo Fisher's first year, the feeling was enthusiasm. This year, it's confirmation of belief, because they see what he's asking them to do. succeed. And so what you've got is a situation where, for example, Kellen Mond, the quarterback, a few little things in terms of tweaks in the way he approaches the game has made him more accurate and more confident. And the rest of the team is looking at that saying, we want some of that for us. How do you get it? You keep buying into Jimbo Fisher's program because they've already seen it succeed.
There's a lot of reason for hope. We saw that last year, played Clemson, like you guys said, to within 2 points. They beat LSU in a billion overtimes. And so there was a lot to be optimistic about. And they're working on back-to-back top 10 recruiting classes. By the way, the Aggies have only had one 10-win season in the last 20 years. Wow. That was when Johnny Manziel was still playing football. Up next, some over-under season win totals. But first, are you over the Alabama-Clemson dominance? Is it good for college football? And if not, when will it be? Next. Clemson Tigers kick off their season against Georgia Tech Thursday, August 29th, 8 o'clock Eastern in Death Valley, only on ACC Network. Visit GetACCN.com to check for providers in your area. Clemson's dominance looks to continue this year, and it could lead to another matchup with Bama. Brad Edwards now with a look at the rivalry.
Lawrence fade ball. Touchdown!
Beautifully thrown pass from Tua Tagovailoa.
Over the last decade, there's no question which team has been the best in college football.
Alabama!
Alabama's gotten so good it's boring.
But it's just as clear that in the last four seasons, one team has become Alabama's equal.
The Tigers reclaim their crown by crushing Alabama.
Clemson had better players. Clemson had better coaches. Clemson was a better football team.
Since 2015, Clemson and Alabama have identical 55-4 records, and each owns a pair of national championships. During that span, they're also 2-2 against one another. It can't get any more even than that.
Alabama's still here, but so is Clemson.
Alabama has spent many more weeks ranked number one in the polls, but when the tide have fallen, the Tigers have been right there to take over the top spot. In the AP poll, it's 54 weeks and counting that either Bama or Clemson has been ranked number one. It's the longest stretch with no more than two schools occupying the top spot in that poll's history, which dates back to 1936. The next longest streak is 48 weeks with USC and Oklahoma from 2003 through 2005. But in that streak, there was only one passing of the baton. Between Bama and Clemson, there have been six lead changes.
If you get to where everything's about the result, it will drive you crazy.
Of course, being number one is old hat for Nick Saban, whose Alabama teams have been ranked there for at least 1 week in a record 11 consecutive seasons. Over the last 50 years, no other coach has reached that spot in more than four straight seasons. But in that group at four straight is Dabo Sweeney. The Clemson coach is on the verge of joining Saban in a very small club of coaching elites who have ascended to number one in the AP poll 5 years in a row. Even more impressive considering that Sweeney would do so during Saban's streak.
As a competitor, you want to beat the best, and Alabama has been the best.
ESPN's Football Power Index likes Sweeney's chances to reach the top spot again in 2019. Clemson is the number one team in preseason FPI, slightly ahead of Alabama, and those two are considered by far to be the most likely teams to reach the college football playoff. This forecast is partly based on how good they were last year. Clemson won its final 10 games of 2018 by 20 points or more. That's a streak that only three other major college teams have equaled in a single season over the last 100 years. And one of those was Alabama last year, when the Tide won all of its first 12 games by more than three touchdowns.
We're really mirror images of each other if you really look at it.
There have always been connections between these two programs, as five of the Tigers' last nine head coaches played for Alabama, including the only three to have won at least 75 games at Clemson and the only two to have won a national title there. But there had never been a rivalry between them until now. It's a rivalry that has nothing to do with the states. Instead, it's all about the stakes. Since the BCS began in 1998, there have been 21 official national championship games. Prior to that, there had been 10 1-versus-2 bowl games in which the winner was certain to be named national champion by at least one major poll. Over those 31 total games, only one matchup has occurred multiple times. That's Clemson and Alabama, which has happened 3 times in the last 4 years.
I think the objective is to get the 2 best teams. That's kind of the way it is. And if that's not best for college football, then why did we even do it?
FPI says there's a 23% chance the Tigers and Tide will meet again for the championship this season. And while right now FPI would slightly favor Clemson, recent history would tilt in Alabama's direction. In 4 straight seasons, either Bama or Clemson has been eliminated from the playoff by the other. Each time, the team that was eliminated won the playoff rematch and the national title the following year. If that pattern holds, it's Alabama's turn to lift the trophy this season.
Thank you, Brad Edwards. Those are some staggering numbers when you think about the history of college football and where these two teams fit into that. We're living in a historic moment right now. So, Marcus, if it happens again, I mean, is this dominance right now with these two teams and this rivalry, is it good for college football?
Hell no. And I'll tell you why. Because so many people have even challenged me on the fact, like, I'm for it. As a competitor, right? You earn your way to the national championship. But if we got to contextualize when we talk about good for college football. Good for any sport is parity. That's the most exciting thing about sports, when you have an opportunity to see teams that almost play at the same level throughout the duration of a season. You don't want a season or a football season where you say, okay, these two teams are going to end up like, I want to, first of all, contextualize, do we know, or we need to pay attention to how big 23% of them getting back to play each other in the national championship is with all of the other schools that play college football. That's basically saying this is almost a guarantee when you compare it to everybody else that has participation in trying to make it to the college football playoff. And then, too, it just gets old. I mean, look, it's fun for certain people. It's fun for certain fan bases in particular. But I remember sitting in Atlanta when Auburn was playing Georgia for the SEC championship. There was more of a buzz. There was more of a sense of, man, we about to get a game. It wasn't Alabama. We know Alabama's going to win, and they're going to end up in the national championship after this game, even though Georgia has pushed them to the brink. When Auburn and Georgia played in the SEC championship, the buzz in the building was a lot more just groovy than it has been for so many years with Alabama playing whoever they play in the East and everybody knowing what the result would be.
Marcus, these two dominating is fantastic for college football. And what's good for sport is passion. Some fans love these teams. More hate these teams because they're on top all the time. That's one reason. But here's another. They show the way for the rest of college football on how to get there. When Saban and Dabo took over their schools, they were pretty average. And they used different style but similar principles to get to the top. And it's not like they both had money. Clemson had never raised money in the way that Dabo raised money in terms of amount and in terms of number of donors. And so these are things that other schools, even if they don't have the huge dollars, are able to emulate if they're good enough. They show the path, and the result, the fruit is on the tree. Others can do it too, and that's good for college football.
Trevor. Well, I mean, I respect that, what you just said, Trevor. But we know damn well we don't want to see the same two teams play for national championships every year.
Hold on, Trevor.
Best thing that happened for college football is Georgia and giving us those games. When you look at the role that Alabama has had to take, it's pretty much been predicated on the fact that Kirby Smart has almost done it. He's almost beaten Alabama to play in the college football playoff. That has been the excitement to me. When you look at the seasons recently, the past 2 years, the most exciting point in college football was those games between Georgia and Alabama.
Trevor, I'm with you that it's the two best teams, and these are it, and this is pretty cool that we're living in this moment. So I think it's okay for college football for now. But at what point, Trevor, does the law of diminishing returns kick in? Like, is this like the Fast and Furious franchise? Like, once we hit number 7, like number 10, like, where is it, Trevor?
That law of diminishing returns, if it gets to that point, would signify that college football has much bigger problems because other programs are doubling and tripling down. Texas A&M, Michigan, Oregon, so many others. And if this goes Clemson and Alabama for too much longer, it means the rest of them are failing, and that's not these other guys' fault.
They are certainly dominant. It looks like we're headed for part 5, and it's, as you said, it's up to other programs to make sure that that does not happen. Up next, we're going to look outside of Clemson, Alabama. We've got some season win totals from Vegas, over-unders for a few teams looking to bounce back from lackluster campaigns. Where are we headed? Next. Oh, can't stop me now. Very funny, very insightful, Peyton's Places, featuring Peyton Manning. The first 4 episodes now streaming online exclusively on ESPN+. All right, let's do some season win total over-unders here, College Football Live. Matt, Trevor, and Marcus. Caesars has the over-under at 7 for Florida State. We're putting it at 6.5. No pushes, no riding the fence. Over-under Willie Taggart's second season, Trevor.
I've got him over. I think a lot of the problems last year were not Taggart's fault, but he did a good job of solving them. I think Florida State bounces back.
I go under. I don't know how fast you can get good at the offensive line in 1 year when you got Clemson lined up, Florida lined up. I met Dave Doran from NC State. I want that guy to win every damn football game his team plays in.
Can always count on you being unbiased, Marcus. By the way, Florida State hasn't had back-to-back seasons of on-field records of 6 wins or fewer since the 75-76 season. All right, Nebraska, Scott Frost's second season. Today at our college football meetings for ESPN, Dan Orlovsky says, I'm taking the over 8.5, and I'm going 10-2. He thinks they're going to just lose 2 regular season games. That's an actual picture taken today of Dan and Herbie Husker. Marcus, you on Team Dan?
No way. I'm not on Team Dan. We know what conference they play in. We know the teams that they have to get through. Nebraska ain't going from 4 wins to 10 this year, boss.
Yeah, I've got Nebraska under, even though Dan gave Herbie the final rose. It's not going to help.
I think you might have your quarterbacks confused. See you Thursday, ESPN2, 4:30.